like, with the month being October and all, I think that this episode being, like, kind of themed is pretty fun, especially since I'm looking forward to the more later side of October with Halloween.
I agree. I think a lot of spooky movies and all that, especially with this movie coming back into theaters to celebrate it, it's, like, what, 10th? 12th? I don't know, but it's back in theaters, so great way to celebrate that.
I'm very excited. I remember watching it very long ago, though, but it's still being in my memory because it was just, like, kind of a really dark thing for a child to see.
How long are we talking?
I was, like, 5.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's kind of
insane. 5 to 6. Yeah. And I watched the movie, and I was like, this is so scary. Why am I watching this?
Did you finish all of it?
I finished
it. You powered through?
And I watched it alone.
Oh!
I remember I was, like, watching it in the living room, and then I think my mom was vacuuming or cleaning, and then I was a little scared because I was, like, all alone. And then what was watching with me?
Oh, dear.
Yeah. How about you? When were you first introduced to it?
I thought I was 11, but I think I watched it with my sister, so I wasn't alone, okay. Thank God.
That's good.
But even when I was 11, I was very, very scared, and I haven't watched it since.
Me too. I haven't watched it since either. But I feel like it's very telling that this, I can still remember pretty much every detail of the movie years later.
And also, like, all these theories on TikTok where it's, like, this hidden detail or this new conspiracy theory about Coraline. It's so creepy. Like, they're so good, but they scare me a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot about how the directors, like, they made everything purposeful. So there's nothing, you know, unintentional in the movie. Every detail, like, it's meant to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess provide, like, a little bit of context about it. Coraline is the movie we're talking about. I don't know if you mentioned that.
Oh yeah, we should have like stated it, but yeah whatever, whatever. Yeah.
So Coraline is the movie we're talking about, and it was released in 2009 by the producer something Selick. His last name is
I think it's Tom Selick, but I could be wrong.
Henry Selick. Yes. And it was established from an existing novel at the time. So he made a stop-motion animated movie based on it.
And it's by Neil Gaiman, the novel.
Yeah. And the story of, I guess, how it came to be was that Neil Gaiman kind of admired his Henry Selick's existing works, including The Nightmare Before Christmas, which I'm sure, like, many of you already know. And so he thought it would be interesting for him to adapt his book into the movie. And I think Santa mentioned she thought it was by Tim Burton, which makes sense. I feel like it's in the kind of style.
I looked it up after, and I guess it's a very common misconception people have of this movie, that Tim Burton is involved, but he is not. He did not direct the movie.
I feel like the style of the characters, like, it's not Tim Burton, but the plot line.
Yeah. You know? And, like, the attention to detail, that's Tim Burton.
Yeah, that's very true.
I need to apologize. My voice is a bit hoarse, so that is why.
Oh, I didn't even notice. Oh, okay. Don't worry.
That's very nice of you to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was released in 2009, and it premiered at the Portland International Film Festival.
Yeah, so I think it's interesting that now so many of us know it. As a child, I didn't know how popular it was, so when I saw, like, years later on TikTok, all these theories coming out, I was surprised it was, you know, a lot of people knew about it.
And I'm sure, like, with it coming back in theaters, it's only going to become even more popular.
That's true, yeah. I feel like it's a fun activity to do with a group of friends.
Particularly, we need to go out with our group of friends and do this.
Yes, I was trying to hint at that.
Oh, sorry, I'll be more subtle.
Yeah, no, that's okay. But yeah, I feel like this is a great Halloween activity to do as well. And so, you know, a great Halloween movie overall.
Yeah, I think it's really fun to watch with friends or family or by yourself if you want to be really, you know, scared.
Yeah, take a risk. But yeah, I guess we can get right into it with the plot line.
Yeah, so we're starting off the story with Coraline, who is this 11-year-old girl, and her family is moving to this new place. And let's just be clear, this place is not very glamorous. It's very creepy, very strange.
Yeah, and they're moving into this Victorian-style house, and they have a landlady, which we'll get into later, but they're basically just readjusting to this whole new life. And the story kind of starts off with Coraline, and she's looking for something, so she runs into a black cat while on this journey to look for something, and then also a little boy named Wiley, who's around her age. And so it's discovered that Wiley is the grandson of Coraline's landlady. So there's that connection that you already start seeing.
And then basically he ends up giving her this ragdoll that looks just like her, except it has buttons for... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the landlady.
The landlady gives it to her. And which is pretty freaky, but you gotta keep this in mind for later on. So anyways, yeah, Coraline's new house is not it. There's this one scene where she's exploring like the bathtub and she turns on and a bunch of beetles come out. And that traumatized me for life.
Yeah, I know exactly what scene you're talking about. All those, descriptions. Yeah, and she, I guess, is left to herself a lot because her parents are always busy and doing something. So while she's exploring the house, she finds this little door. And this little door, it kind of opens up a whole new world to her. Basically, she opens it up and then she sees this dark tunnel that she goes through. I would not have done that as a child. I would have, like, gone to my parents immediately. But she goes through it, and then she comes out on the other side, and she thinks, oh, it's a little strange. It looks exactly like the house. And then so this sets up the other world, where it's like an alternate reality, and we kind of see that everything is the same, but we're also introduced to some new characters.
So first we have the other mother, who is basically Coraline's mother, but she has button eyes. And then also the other father, which is like Coraline's father, but again, he has button eyes. The thing is, what's really different between the other world and the real world is that this other world is kind of like an idealized version of Coraline's life. So in this world, her mom and dad give her lots of attention, lots of like food, lots of whatever she wants, basically. Whereas in the real world, she doesn't get that type of attention or that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there was this particular scene where Coraline was shopping with her mom in the store, and then she wanted this scarf, but her mom wouldn't get her that. And then she was really annoyed, but then in the other world, the other mother, she buys it for her. And then so she's like, wow, this other mother is great. She's getting me, like, everything. She's giving me the time and attention that my parents never gave to me. So she really likes them.
Also, there's another scene where, like, in the real world, Coraline is really annoyed that their family keeps eating, like, takeout dinner or, like, the TV dinners. And then when she goes to the other world, they have this gigantic roast and all these different delicacies. Yeah. And the other mother's just like, hey, say whatever you want. I'll make it for you.
I remember as a child seeing, like, that roast chicken and all the, like, the food on display. It looks so delicious.
Yes, especially when she was asking for, like, a smoothie or something, and they just poured it out for her.
Yeah. I gotta be honest, I would have been really tempted if I was Coraline. She was a very smart young kid.
She was very good to, like, question what was going on. I feel like I would just accept it and be like, yeah, this is how it is.
Same, exactly.
But yeah, anyways, after that, she goes back to her own house and she meets her neighbors who live above her. And they kind of warn her about this door and what's going on. But this is the next morning, so she goes to bed and then she wakes up. Like, she goes back through the door.
Well, she doesn't know she goes, like, basically she goes to bed, and then when she wakes up, she's in back there. And she doesn't know how she's back there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's when, like Santa said, she meets these other new neighbors. So there's this one man who was part of a Chernobyl cleanover, and he got, like, cleanup, and he got a medal for it.
And he's blue.
Yes, he's blue. And there's these two women who are these fortune tellers. So we'll talk a little bit about them later on, but they basically tell her, you know, stay away, it's dangerous. And then we also learn that Wiley starts telling Coraline about his grandmother's twin sister who went missing a while ago.
Wiley also shows Coraline this well with a bunch of, like, I believe leaves around it. But anyway, he shows her this well, and the well does come into play a bit later. But yeah, when she returns to the other world, she does end up... It's basically just her going, like, back and forth, right? And she becomes very enchanted by the idea of this other world.
Especially with her own parents not giving her a lot of time and care, she finds herself, like, wanting to go back into that other world because she thinks everything is perfect there, you know? She has a great life there.
There's this one scene where she's in the real world and she's talking to her mother, and her mother is, like, denying her something. She's like, oh, well, my other mother would get it for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you mean?
I think it might have been the scarf, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And then that's where she's like, oh, I'm, like, you know, my other mother is great. She'll give me everything.
So then basically, when she goes to the other world, the other mother offers her a permanent life there if she gets to sew in her eyes with buttons like the other mother and the other father. And it's really creepy the way she does it, too. She gives her, like, a box, and it has the buttons with the sewing needle in it.
I always wondered as a kid, would she actually make her, like, undergo the surgical procedure of moving her, like, eyeballs from her eyes and then replacing them with the buttons?
Oh, I always thought she just sewed the button on top of the eyeball, but either way, that's so gruesome.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense, too. Like, I don't know why a child, like, you know, you would willingly undergo that. No matter the temptation to stay in that other world, that pain, like, I could not bear it.
Maybe if you're really young, you don't really know what it means. Like, when they sew buttons, maybe you don't understand, like, it means, like, painfully sewing it.
Yeah. But anyways, that's the one part where we start to realize, you know, this idyllic world is not so great after all. It's covering up a much darker truth.
And then Coraline basically tells her no, and she ends up seeing the a side of the other mother that she had not seen before. It's very cruel, very horrible side.
Yeah, and in this scene, oh, it is so scary, but this is where she transforms into her truer self, where she gets, like, she turns into a kind of skeletal figure, and she's very tall. And so she's threatening Coraline with this, and she's making her stay. And so she imprisons her in this mirror room, where Coraline sees the ghosts of these children. And she realizes that they were also lured by the other mother in similar ways to her.
And one of them, I believe, was very similar to YB's grandmother's twin.
Yeah, and she finds out that's where her missing sister went, that she was also lured by the other mother.
So this is all very, very creepy.
Okay, so after they start working together, Coraline realizes that the other mother is someone who kind of likes games, and she proposes a deal that if she's able to find the missing children's eyes and also save her parents, that the Beldam will set them all free. But if she can't, she'll let her sew her eyes. So the Beldam accepts this deal because she thinks that Coraline can actually, you know, carry through with it.
And this is, like, very high stakes.
Yeah, so basically Coraline goes on this journey, and she, the other mother reveals that, this kind of riddle that Coraline needs to follow through on, and she uses that to find the missing children's eyes, and she does that. So, near the very end, where she's trying to save her parents, the other mother turns into an even bigger monster form.
And then basically, this monster form, which you mentioned also, she has like a porcelain face with a crack in it. And she starts chasing Coraline. So Coraline ends up having to outmaneuver her. And she crawls through the tunnel. No, she doesn't crawl through the tunnel. She tries to escape. And as she is escaping out, as she is positioning the front of like the doorway that she's using to position it back on, she severs the other mother's hand.
That part was also so... always so gruesome for me to watch as a child.
It was blood-curdling. So anyway, she ends up taking up the hand and the key that she was using to get to the other world. And she and YB go to the well that I mentioned earlier, and they dump it in. Because they're like, you know, we're never going to touch this again. And they go back.
Yeah, and so basically she saved her parents, but they have no recollection. They don't remember what happens. And they don't know about the other mother or anything else. So they completely forgot everything. And it seems like everything's pretty much a happy ending because they host this garden party. Their neighbors come over.
Also, Coraline's parents are much more attentive and much much more open with her than they were in the beginning. So that's kind of resolving the issue of her feeling distant from her family.
Yeah. So as a child, you think, wow, great ending. At least it's like a happy ending, not, you know, the other mother getting to her.
But now I think... looking back, there's a lot of theories and hidden details that you're looking back on. And maybe this story does not end as happily as it seems.
Yeah, so that's what we kind of want to get into now. A lot of popular theories going around and maybe a not-so-happy ending.
And our thoughts on that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think one of the most popular theories is this one by Theorizer, the Theorizer on YouTube, and it's talking about the button eyes. Mm-hmm. So one interesting thing they said about the other mother was that maybe, like, the first time she was trying to, you know, take away a child's soul for her energy, she maybe didn't have enough energy to continue to make this illusion of grandeur and happiness to lure them in. So she, like, asked to button their eyes so that they could no longer see the illusions that she had to project for them. So then without their sight, she could easily just turn it back to the white room that it is actually in, and she just easily sucked their energy. And now that she does not have to keep up her facade, she has more energy to spare to go on kidnapping the next child, and so on and so on and so on.
That's really smart. Also, like, it makes it, I guess, seem like the other mother is very manipulating, controlling person. Like, everything is on purpose, you know, with her.
Yeah, she's so, like, I love seeing the theories about her backstory and how she became this way, because I think it's so interesting how she becomes this, you know, horrible monster.
Yeah, I think also, like, the Beldam, it's this kind of myth, right? So, I would like to know more about that as well.
I also saw a theory about, like, okay, you know how in Coraline's world there was, like, a picture of a boy, and in the other world there was a picture that he was, like, her lost son?
Yeah, and then the reason she keeps kidnapping children is because she had her own child, like, lost, and she wants to, you know, I guess she turned evil because of that. So I think, going away from the theories and briefly into the hidden details, something that has also been circulating is the cake, you know, the welcome home cake that the other mother and her father present to her Coraline when she comes into the other world. Basically, people were saying that, like, you know how it was in cursive, welcome home? And then on the O of home, there was, like, a double loop. And that means that something is not true. So, like, it's saying welcome, yeah, but not home.
Oh, so that's interesting.
It's not her actual home.
Wait, how does a loop mean? Like, how does a double loop mean it's not true?
I don't know the origins behind that, but, like, they clearly did it intentionally, because in the welcome, they did one loop for the O, you know? But then they change it up. So that's something really interesting that people have pointed out.
I wonder how the food was made. Like, did she use her matches to just make food? Like, is it really food? Or is it just, like, illusions of food? But then she also ate it, so I don't know how she could pretend that it wasn't.
But I guess it could also play into some theories that Coraline was just, like, you know, imagining everything.
Mm. Yeah. I'm gonna be so honest, the food looked so good in this movie. So good.
Especially the roast chicken, I keep thinking about it.
I'm really hungry now that I'm thinking about it.
Every time I see roast chicken in movies, like, I love. I'm like, already so hungry.
Do you, like, also, like, the turkey, like, when it's the Thanksgiving thing? Or not as much?
I don't like turkey, though, I think. What about you?
I like it on Thanksgiving, like, for the spirit, I guess. And I like it with cranberry sauce. But, like, it's really dry by itself, in my opinion.
But do you celebrate Thanksgiving?
Well, we don't celebrate it, but, like, we have the day off, so we spend it with our family. So we make, like, Thanksgiving-y meals.
Including turkey?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
We sometimes even make mashed potatoes.
Oh my gosh, that's so, like, wow. That's very traditional.
So you guys
celebrate? No, we have never. I don't think we've ever had turkey before as a family.
Oh.
Like, maybe a turkey sandwich, like, not like that. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, the food was very appetizing in Coraline. So I commend her for not being tempted as much as we would have been by that.
I also saw a theory about the other father. You know when he's singing her that song? We should say the lines.
Oh, yes.
Should we say together?
Together, like a little creepy twins from The Shining?
I was gonna say, like, the creepy twins from The Shining.
Okay, let's do it. Okay.
Should we count down?
3, 2, 1.
Makeup. Oh, sorry.
Isn't it here?
It starts from.
Oh, okay.
I thought you meant, oh, do you want to do this?
No, I thought that was the song.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Making up a song about Coraline. She's a peach. She's a doll. She's a pal of mine. She's as cute as a button in the eyes of everyone who ever laid their eyes on Coraline. When she comes around exploring, Mom and I will never, ever make it boring. Our eyes will be on Coraline.
Whoa. Let's just give a moment for the synchronicity of that.
Yes, that's such a fancy word. Synchronicity.
Thank you. Anyways, that song, there's a lot to unpack there, I guess.
I guess if you look at the lyrics from a very surface level, it seems really cute, really sweet. That's so nice of him to sing her this wonderful song. But then when you think about it deeper, it's like, no.
Yeah, actually, there's a lot of, like, questionable lyrics. And since you know that everything is intentional, it's kind of foreshadowing, I guess, the events that are going to happen. Let's delve into those lyrics.
Yes, that's the English teacher of you.
Thank you, I'm really channeling my inner English poet inside.
Yes.
Okay, so I guess starting off with calling Coraline a peach some people are saying that this is, like, a double meaning kind of thing, where obviously Coraline's very innocent and sweet, but also, like, she's the other mother's food, basically, her nourishment.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's kind of talking about that, I guess.
I also think, like, the giving her all that food, that kind of reminded me of, like, you know, fattening up the meal, like, giving her all that food.
Like, Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah.
Dude, that is very similar, yeah.
Weren't we Hansel and Gretel in a French project?
Stop. This is, like, the parallels. Oh my gosh.
And then also, he mentions she's a doll, she's a palomine. She's a doll is very interesting, considering we have the rag doll of Coraline. She's a doll. And also, she's a palomine is quite interesting, I think, too, because the other father, there are some theories that he's actually not in control of his own body, or that he's actually trying to help Coraline. So in this way, he's trying to show his solidarity with Coraline.
Yeah, but yeah, some people say that the other mother was controlling him and his actions, so I feel like that's a nice theory, knowing that somebody out there was on Coraline's side.
I agree, but I feel like also he had to really be controlled, because he did nothing to stop the other mother once she went full on.
To be fair, she, like, muted YB, so, like, maybe she would have done the same to him. I wonder how they even met, like, were they romantically in love? Like, how does this work?
I guess that does make more sense, like, she just made him up, because how do you meet the other mother? Like, on a dating app?
And he's not, like, the same type of creature as her either, right?
Yeah, he's just, like, a useless, button-eyed person. That's a bit mean. Sorry, other father.
Yeah. I wonder if she sewed him up, too.
I wonder what his true form is.
Yeah. All of these questions, no answers.
Okay. Anyways.
There was also something about eyes being brought up, like, three times in the poem that alludes to, like, the three children, the ghost children in the little mirror room that were trapped. So it was already showing ahead of time. Oh, you kind of, you know, have to stay on your toes.
This is so creepy. Just talking about it gives me the creeps.
And it's even more scary when you're watching it in the movie and he's saying that song.
I feel like, especially on a rewatch, because on the first watch, if you haven't seen it before, you might not notice it. You might have, like, that eerie feeling. And you watch it the second time knowing what happens and everything is just coming together.
Yeah, it's like all these little goosebumps forming. Just thinking about it.
Also saying at the end, like, mom and I will never ever make it boring. So much to unpack here.
Yeah, like, for example, that kind of makes it seem like they're trying to cater this world to whatever Coraline wants, you know? It's something that's never gonna make her think they're boring, so she'll stay with them, you know?
But then also, like, we'll never make it boring. This doesn't necessarily imply they're gonna make it, like, fun. It just means that she'll never be bored, I guess, with being tortured or having her soul sucked or whatever.
Even if she doesn't want that. She wants her free will, but no, they're controlling her.
And then saying our eyes will be on Coraline is also really interesting because, you know, she'll never be let out of their sight once the other mother has her hands on her. But then also, our eyes will be on her, like their button eyes being sewed onto Coraline's face.
Yeah, and then literally controlling her with those button eyes, whatever they're doing.
So yeah, this is just why I feel like there has to be lots of evidence that the other father is not, like, of his own will, because he says so many creepy things that makes me doubt that he was just this innocent person being left alone. Or maybe he was trying to warn her. Maybe this was his song, was his way of trying to warn her?
Like, subtly warning her.
Yeah. But then it's so subtle, I doubt anyone would have gotten a message if you didn't know.
Especially not an 11-year-old child who thinks that this is a song. I don't know, it's so creepy thinking back on it. And also his little piano movements. Oh, just thinking back on it.
Also, like, the garden. I thought the garden was really beautiful, honestly.
Yeah. But then I guess if you were someone who could, like, really analyze it, I'm sure there's so many things in the garden itself.
There's also the theory about Coraline actually giving the key to the other mother through the well. So like we mentioned before, right? She threw away the key in the hand into the well with YB. It's like, good riddance. But this theory is kind of talking about how basically when YB was first showing her the well in the beginning of the movie, he said, if you fall far enough down the well, you'll see a sky full of stars in the middle of the day. And in the other world, what is the sky full of in the middle of the day?
Oh, gee, I can't guess.
Stars! So this kind of alludes to maybe this being a portal to the other world. And when Coraline threw away the key and, like, the remains, she might have actually given the key to the other mother, letting her, you know, back into this world.
This is so crazy. As a child, you don't want to believe that, you know? You just want her to have a happy ending. But now, these theories are all so valid. I feel like I believe so many of them, especially this one. This makes a lot of sense.
I agree. I feel like, but my only question is, if the well is a portal, why couldn't the other mother, like, use it before? Is it the, it was not,
I feel like since there's so much evil on that side, there's something that keeps her from, you know, going to that side. Like, it needs to be of the child's own free will.
Oh, okay, like, okay.
She needed Coraline's consent to sell the eyes, you know? So I feel like that is kind of important.
So maybe by giving her the key, that Rupta takes away the consent?
Yeah, maybe. Like, she needs to go through this luring trap process so she can't, you know, just easily go and kidnap children. There needs to be some kind of limitations.
I agree.
Yeah. And so there's also another one, which I think is, like, 100% true, in my opinion. It's the one about YB's grandmother, the landlady, her purposely, like, letting Coraline be trapped by the other mother. Because YB is around the same age as Coraline, right? So he would have been in Coraline's situation if he was, like, in that house. He could have been lured by the other mother.
That's a good point.
So she wanted to have one scapegoat, like, one child, to satisfy the other mother. And then she warns away the other children from that house. So it shows that she knew the dangers of that house. But she wanted, like, one family to, you know, be under the influence and, you know, set them off.
Oh, God.
So YB could be safe.
Well, I guess her looking for her grandson, you know, but
that's
then also
good. But I'll go for Coraline.
Yeah. So,
like, this poor little child.
Also, I think it's just crazy that the grandmother can just pick and choose. Like, oh, like, YB is alive, but Coraline has to go.
Yeah, also, why Coraline? Why was she waiting for a new family to move from somewhere else?
Maybe, like, because it's less, she doesn't have any emotional attachment, right? Like, they're just new. They don't really, she doesn't really know them.
I wonder also, does she pick her because of her parents? Because she knew that her parents would kind of neglect her and let her be on her own.
I wonder, but I feel like they don't know these things when they're renting it out. Unless, like, they came over for, like, a visit before, and then she just noticed.
Or, like, even asked for a history of the family.
Hmm.
Or their job, because maybe she knew whatever they were doing was going to keep them away from her.
Bobby's grandmother is not a good landlady, because why does your bathroom not work and it just spews out insects?
Yeah, exactly.
Zero stars.
And there's just no way she didn't know about that door in the first place.
I agree. And also, like, why is this door not even, like, covered up or something? Why is it just out there?
Exactly. So I feel like this is one of the true theories. It has to be true. It makes a lot of sense.
There's also the theory of everyone being dead.
Yeah, so including the neighbors. The ones we mentioned before, there was the man with the Chernobyl medal, and then there were also the fortune tellers. So maybe people think that he died from radiation poisoning from that cleanup, and then, like, he got poisoned, his skin turned blue, and then he died after that.
Mm.
And then the fortune tellers, they were also dead, and so that's why, this is kind of getting into English literature here, but they think that the garden was a metaphor for heaven. And that hell was the other world. And so, like, the neighbors couldn't go to the garden until, I guess, everyone was safe. Maybe they had a job of, like, they couldn't go to the garden until Coraline was safe.
Interesting.
And maybe the parents couldn't host that kind of garden party until they completed their tasks. And so the parents also, people think that when they got into a car crash, they all died. So maybe it was all Coraline's imagination.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of theories about that, about her just trying to cope after the death of her parents. And this is her just, like, imagining all of this stuff.
I feel like the entirety of Coraline can be made into one huge metaphor.
I agree. This would be so fun to analyze for
English. Why can't we do these kind of texts in class? Like, why do we, what does it have to be physical text each time?
I agree. Also, I felt this would be a really good EE topic, but now it's too late.
Wait, that's so true. We could have done it on anything, right?
Yeah, I don't know why we chose such research-heavy topics. We could have done something a bit more lighter and a bit more fun.
Yeah, we would have definitely enjoyed this a lot.
It should be a warning to, like, Ivy students.
Pick something you really like.
Yeah.
Also, they're always telling us the whole world is a text, so why can't we use this in English?
You need to fight for this. You need to fight to get Coraline in
English classes. For sure. It has just as much elements to analyze than any other text.
I agree. Why is a film script not considered as valid as of a literary text than, per se, a poem?
Exactly. We need to step out of the conventions that are holding us back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ivy, we're going to be sending you an email soon. But yeah, there's also a really interesting one about the neighbors whose names I realized we did not mention until now.
Oh yes, it was the fortune tellers, Madame Forcible and April Spring. So people think that when Coraline went back to the other world after her, like the real world, after her parents were kidnapped, that when she asked for them for help and they didn't give her that help, it's because they knew what was going to happen to her, and the form of help they could provide was, I guess, kind of unconventional. And so basically they gave her a taffy bowl. And this, people say that each of the taffy bowl that they gave her, it represented like a respective corresponding year that the three children went missing. So it was a little clue, I guess. And they also provided her with this one object that would help Coraline see, I guess, the bad and find her parents. So it was an essential item that would help her find these bad or lost things. So I think that they kind of knew everything that was going to happen. And maybe if you go back to the heaven metaphor, maybe they were helping her in order to get to that place so that they could set themselves free.
That's very self-serving of them.
Yeah, yeah. But at least it helped Coraline get her to where she needed, so all good in the end.
I'm gonna be honest, it took me a minute to understand this. Like, I was listening to you talk, but I didn't comprehend it.
I could kind of tell.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I could tell the moment when it clicked.
This is really fascinating. I feel like in the movie, they aren't really focused on too much, but if you read into it more, you realize that all their interactions had some sort of intention behind it.
And when I saw the neighbors as a child, I can remember, I felt like something was always off. Mm. They always knew more than they were letting on. So this is definitely a valid theory.
I feel like everyone in this movie just felt a bit off. Except maybe Wybie. Wybie was always a real one.
Yeah, Wybie was a true one. There, Coraline.
Ugh. R.I.P. other Wybie.
I feel so bad for that one.
He tried his best.
Always good in both worlds.
The Sam thing freaked me out so much because I was not expecting that. Like, I thought, you know, he would just be, you know, gone. But they were like, no, he splits into it, and Stan comes out of him.
I'm sure that's something else, too. Another meaning. And maybe, does that mean the father is also made of sand?
That's a good point.
Like, everyone is made of sand. They're not real in the first place.
The food is sand?
Wait, that would be, I feel like I can see that playing out in a real-life movie. Imagine if they made this into live action.
I feel like that's not possible. Like, I feel like there's just so many cool things to do with the animation that you can't do in live action.
And also, like, the horror aspect. I feel like you really need to... You can't do that. It's too hard.
I agree. Also, I feel like it's hard to make it, like you said, like, the horror aspect. Like, how can you make the other mother look just as scary in live action? I feel like I would not
believe it.
Yeah.
Like, CGI will not produce this effect. So... They need to keep Coraline, I think, to where it is.
I feel like they could probably do the end scene with the severed hand pretty well.
That's true, yeah.
But, like, I don't know about anything else.
I could also imagine, like, I guess, the real characters, but not the ones with button eyes.
Mm.
How would that kind of work? It'd be cool to see.
I agree. I feel like the three ghost children would be even scarier if they were, like...
Yeah. I feel like if... Maybe years into the future when we're much more advanced, that would be a great thing to do.
I agree. But even then, I feel like I'm just sick of these live actions. I just want new ideas.
That's true. You're right. We shouldn't be encouraging them to make more of the same ideas. They need to step out.
This is some World Scholars Cup for us.
I was thinking of that. Like, making live actions, making, yeah, advancements.
There's also, I think this is probably the biggest theory in the Coraline,
for sure,
fandom.
Yeah.
But it's basically that Corwin never left the other world. And there's a lot of evidence to support this. So, like, as we see throughout the movie, in order to get between the real world and the other world, she has to open the door and go through this tunnel. However, at the end of the movie, she doesn't go through the door to go back to the real world. She just kind of, like, wakes up there. And everything is just all happy and go-lucky. And that's a bit suspicious, right? Like, why is everything in Coraline's life just suddenly perfect?
I mean, like, you mean the very end, right?
Yeah, like, when her parents are, like, throwing the tea party, they're giving her attention when there was none before. And they have no recollection of what happened. So, maybe if she never left, the other mother, knowing about Coraline's, like, feeling of unhappiness, is just pretending like Coraline escaped and giving her that ideal family life to lure her into a sense of security.
This is giving me chills as we're talking about it. But there's also the mention of the other, like, Coraline's mother getting her what she wanted. And then before, when she said, oh, the other mother would never, like, would always get me this. Maybe that is the other mother.
Mm-hmm.
The mother, the real mother maybe yeah. would have never gotten it back, you know? So, I feel like that is a great theory. Also, there's so much about how time works differently in that other world.
Mm-hmm.
So, that scene where Coraline goes to bed in the other world's bed and she wakes up in her own room, maybe they did something to her while she was asleep.
Oh, that's a good point.
And they made her seem like, they made her think she was back in the real world. So, they could have been messing around. Because, let's be real, like, is Adela going to go to sleep?
No.
Exactly. She wants to try out this girl. Would she let her go back? Or would she alter reality to make her think she was back in the real world? I feel like that's definitely a great theory.
I also thought of one, but I don't know if it can be supported. But maybe, like, when she was asleep, because I think we talked about her needing consent. But perhaps the Beldam sewed eyes onto her, but then it's just making her see delusions through her head. So this entire time, Coraline is actually her, like, everything is all in her head by the other mother.
I see where you're going.
But she has the button eyes.
Oh, so it's like, maybe she's deluding herself into believing she never got the button eyes. Like,
kind of. Like, the other mother, maybe she, when she was asleep, she sewed on the button eyes. But then Coraline, maybe, like, from the pain, because the other mother took, like, sewed up her eyes and is sucking out her soul. Maybe Coraline's in so much pain that she's, like, deluding herself into being this other world where she escapes.
Building off of that, I feel like if that happened, then maybe it was the same kind of situation where, you know how you get anesthesia when you are undergoing a surgical procedure? Maybe the kind of anesthesia she was providing made her, you know, go back to this happier memory where she got a happy ending at the end of the day.
Oh!
We should make professional Coraline theory makers.
Just like, make whoa. Videos on YouTube.
We just be one on the spot, you know?
Yeah.
Great. I wonder if that's an existing theory. Yeah. That could definitely be true.
Like, literally anything could be true with this movie because it ends so open-endedly. Also, we forgot to mention, but the other mother does not like cats. So, red flag right there. But she doesn't like cats. And that's kind of showing through the black cat that we see throughout the movie.
And the black cat is able to transfer between the worlds. So, we also forgot to mention that. But at the very end of the movie, the black cat disappears off the screen. So, the portal is still there. It's not like the other mother is gonna stay at rest. Do you really think a severed hand is gonna stop this little creature? No. So, yeah.
I really want to know, like I said before, her backstory. Like, was she always like this? Did she become like this?
That chills me to think about. I feel like it's more scary if she was just always this evil.
Mm.
But who knows with her.
I also think it's really creepy because if she did what she did to YB's grandmother's twin sister, like, she's been doing this for centuries probably, right? Like, preying on children. Oh, so I'm thinking about, like, the 1800s or something. Like, imagine a little Victorian child getting lured in by her.
So I'm laughing, but that's not funny.
Yeah.
I wonder how old she is. Is it ever mentioned? Or is it confirmed?
That's a good question.
Yeah. All great things to think about.
I agree. One thing I love about this movie is that every time it's Halloween, you know, Coraline season begins, and then on TikTok, people are always finding new details or new theories from these very obscure parts of the movie, and I'm like, oh my god, this is literally incredible. How did you do this?
I think pretty much entire accounts are dedicated to Coraline hidden elements. And also everything we talked about, like, we'll be linking. So, yes, not plagiarism, you know, it's all gonna be cited. But yeah, I feel like these people dedicating their time to making all these theories and, like, pointing out the hidden elements, that is great to see someone doing that.
I agree. And I liked being able to talk about that and going through these different parts.
Yeah, I feel like with Coraline, there's always something you don't notice. There's never something to run out of.
Okay, well, this was fun. I enjoyed talking about this movie. It's a classic, I feel like. Like, it never gets old.
Yeah, I feel like if someone hasn't seen it, it's definitely a great watch because it's not the traditional horror movie where it's just a bunch of needless violence. Sorry if that's me trashing on horror movies, but this is a great, I guess, introduction to it, to the genre, for people of all ages. I don't think it's restricted to just kids, especially because I feel like kids will still find it really scary.
I've heard this, but I don't know if it pertains to this movie particularly, but I think it did. But basically, when the author of the Coraline book, he wrote this book because his daughter felt like there wasn't enough scary stories for kids. So he wrote this for her, and she really loved it.
That is so great. That is exactly what Coraline kind of is. I feel like we need more of this, because traditional kids' scary things aren't as scary, you know? They don't serve that same purpose.
I agree.
But this one, you can enjoy it at any age.
Yeah. I mean, like,
you'll still have nightmares about it. Either way.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Everyone. It targets everyone.
Yeah, this was a good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for our next one. We're going to do a couple Halloween-themed stuff because it's spooky season.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that, too. So, should definitely keep an eye out for that.
And subscribe if you like our content.
Yes.
Thank you.